All right, welcome to Brother from Another. Whether you're consuming on Peacock TV, listening on Sirius XM Channel 85, YouTube, we love you. No matter how you're consuming Brother from Another podcast, we're happy to have you. And we're happy to have Natalie here. Natalie here officially. I think it's the first official co-hosting gig since you've been on board. And, you know, before we talk about all the other stuff, all the other sports news of the day and cultural news of the day, yeah. I want to know how you're doing. That's my first question. Natalie, how are you doing?
I am well, for the most part. Yes, I'm well.
You hesitated.
Well,
okay, first of all, let me ask you.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you, okay? Now, listen. This is a honeymoon period. It is never as good as it is right now. It will never be this good. It's so good right now. If you ask for anything, the answer should be yes. Should be yes. I see you there in beautiful Stamford, Connecticut, at the home office.
Yeah.
So is everybody treating you well?
Yeah.
Is anybody getting crazy?
No.
Anybody getting crazy?
No.
We can talk about it. It's just us.
No one is getting crazy. It's been great. No, I'm a very compartmentalized person. So, like, professionally, career-wise, all is great. But, you know,
okay.
Other things affect me, like my team acting crazy right now. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is a beautiful transition, because all is well with you. I'm glad you're happy. You look happy. You sound happy. Yeah, I can tell. I can tell our family here. It's all family. We don't keep secrets on Brother from Another. So I'll tell the people in the audience, you've already made us better already, which is looking forward to that. So you have delivered your championship and you're still doing well.
Thank you.
Golden State Warriors had their championship. And remember, I just said, things will never be as good as they are right now for you. Well, the same is true for the Golden State Warriors. Never as good as it was one night in Boston in June.
Oh,
you shut up the Boston Garden crowd. They had cussed you out a week before, but you came back. You stuck it to them. Draymond, you celebrated. Draymond and Jordan Poole were cool. Nobody was saying anything negative about Klay Thompson. Steve Kerr was a genius. We weren't even thinking about James Wiseman. And now, well, let's have Steve Kerr set the atmosphere for us. Here's Steve Kerr last night.
Yep.
Sure, and that's what being the coach is about. It's not just about drawing up a play. It's about really getting to know your players, building relationships with them, trying to give them a vision that they can collectively shoot for. And clearly I have failed at that. To this point this year. And so I have to do a better job, and I've got to reach these guys, and we got to pull them together, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay, Natalie. Okay. All right, there's so many issues here. You know this team. You know this team as well as anyone, better than anyone. I'll even say it that way. Before we get into what ails the Warriors, can I tell you that's one of the cliches I just can't stand? It's like a fake. It's fake accountability. It is fake. Yeah, I'll get in front of it. But you're not really. You're not really. You're saying it starts with me. But if I were to ask a follow-up question. So, all right. So you haven't won on the road because of you, Steve. You're 6-9 because of you. So how can you be better? He'd be offended. He wouldn't answer that question. Or he might start answering that question. Then he'd go to the PR staff and like, who's that a-hole? Like, get that. We don't want it. Like, I don't want that guy in my press conferences anymore. Because he's actually taking something I said and following up. Because we don't believe you. We don't believe you, Steve. Even if you have more people, we don't believe you. We don't believe that it's your fault, because it's not. You don't believe it either. Natalie, why are we talking like this about the Golden State Warriors? And we got time, so take your time.
Yeah, I was going to say, where do you want me to begin? I definitely did some eye rolling listening to Steve, but as a Warriors fan, this is like a thing with us. Because like when they have, I mean, this is a more extreme circumstance, but when they have, like, last season, when they had, like, a period, like, they were just losing a lot of games, and, you know, he'll come in, like, I didn't have them ready, and we're like, oh, here we go. Like, we kind of predict the quotes that are going to come from him. So, you know, I recorded, actually, a podcast right after the show last night, and, like, I kind of ranked in order the three top things that I believe are, like, really hurting the Warriors, and so number...
Don't give me one yet. Give me three. Give me three.
Give you all three? Okay.
No. Give me number three, then number two, then number one. I want to build up.
Okay. So
number three.
Okay. And look, these are all really important, so it's not like the order is drastically far apart on them. Number three is the bench. It's the bench. Bench is not good. It's not good. And you talked about it yesterday on the show because you were asking about James Wiseman and why they were sending him down to the G League. And, you know,
The C-dubs. That's supposed to make you feel better? You're going to the C-dubs? Okay.
Look.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. There's nothing. I don't think inherently that there's anything wrong with going to the G League. So let me just make that clear. It's a development league, right? And I think he has unique circumstances. We understand he didn't play a lot in college. He's been injured. Like, I mean, he's only played, I think, just over 50 games in his three NBA seasons, right? So I think his circumstances are unique. And I understand that most people are not going to give him the grace that I think he deserves. But I don't really have a problem with him going to the G League. There's some kind of people being disingenuous, this whole, like, look, there's precedent, Jordan Poole, blah, blah, blah. Listen, Jordan Poole, when he went to the G League, probably didn't even need to go at that point. It is true that Jordan Poole struggled in his first couple of years. What's also true is that he was able to do that at a time when the Warriors weren't competing because one of those years, Klay Thompson was injured and Steph was out. So they basically were like a team that was rebuilding. They weren't technically rebuilding, but they didn't have like pressures and they weren't really trying to compete for a championship those years. And that's the kind of environment generally rookies, lottery picks go into, where they have the ability to go into a situation, make mistakes, and grow, right? So Jordan was growing and developing over those years, but he also took a leap. Like, he was putting in the work, he took a leap. And so that time when they sent him to the G League, like, he had already been playing well and showing it, but it was just like a planned, scheduled visit. Like, we're going to send you to the G League. And in that last game when he was playing, people were like, don't go. And then, like, he came back and he was on fire. So people try to turn it into this. He went to the G League and 2 weeks later he came back like a new player. And that's not what it was. I think that James Wiseman still needs a lot of work. So I don't have a problem with him going to the G League, but I think he needs a lot more development. So I'm not expecting him to go down there and a month later come back and be this new player.
Okay, but you said the bench and... part of that bench is Jordan Poole.
Yes.
So I don't know if he's not. I was going to say he's number. Okay, he's number two. All right, so I want to get to him in a second then. But I just want to point out that if the Warriors, I will tell you this, if the Warriors want to trade Jonathan Kuminga, if they.
James Wiseman.
Bring him here. I'll take him. I'll give you a good player. I'll give you a good bench player. You want your bench to get better? I might trade you straight up Derek White for Jonathan Kuminga. Straight up. You can have Derek White. You want Derek White? Had a good game last night. Derek White, good defender. Young player. Good contract. Man.
The Warriors don't want to trade him. They don't.
I know. That's on Steve Kerr. That's his fault. You know, you didn't get him ready. That's your fault. Put Jonathan Kuminga in positions to be successful. The fact
James
that they
Wiseman.
Haven't done that, I am going to put that on, not Wiseman, Kuminga.
Kuminga now, okay.
Kuminga. So I'm already, you know, Wiseman's already with the C-dubs, so I'm already over him.
Okay.
Number two pick went to the G League, and that's okay, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm over him.
Okay.
But now I'm saying if the bench is number three on Natalie's list.
Yeah.
And Kuminga's on the bench. Well, give him some more run, more consistency. Define his role for him better and maybe get more production. But get to number two, Jordan Poole. What's the Jordan Poole issue? Are we talking about beef with Draymond still or what? What's the problem?
No, so, and it's, I have, it's a two-part, it's Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson, so I put those two together because...
Oh, I like it.
They're two...
Here we go.
They're two of the main guys, right? They're two of your main guys. It's Steph, it's... And when I say that, because we know Draymond is a main guy, but for purposes of their offense, it's Steph, Klay, and Jordan are really supposed to be your second and third options on any given night. And Andrew Wiggins is supposed to be your fourth option. But right now, Andrew Wiggins is their second best player. And that's fine
all-star
because
player.
He's playing well. He's playing well.
He was all-star last year. Great NBA Finals.
But here's the thing. He was their second best player in the finals. But Andrew Wiggins took a pay cut to stay with the Warriors. He's making less than Klay Thompson and less than Jordan Poole. They have to do more. They have to do better. And they're not doing their part right now. So it's a problem. And, like, they would – that's not all that ails them. So, but having those two be consistent and show up and do what you expect them to do on a nightly basis would go a long way in the Warriors looking like the team that we recognize.
We talked about this a bit yesterday. And before we get to your number one, mention – Klay Thompson going to the bench and how that might be a problem because if Klay Thompson is not, and not because of, oh, he's just too proud and you can't do that to Klay Thompson. Sure you can. The problem is what kind of production are you going to get from Klay Thompson coming off the bench if he's not even doing well with Steph Curry on the floor and with Draymond on the floor, making things easier for him, you know, opening up lanes for him, creating spacing for him. Then what's he going to do with the second unit? But how do you feel about Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole kind of switching roles? Poole to the starting lineup, Klay to the bench.
Yeah, no, one of the rare times I agree 100% with Vinny, but he was spot on.
One of the rare times.
Yeah, we don't see eye to eye all the time, but.
No, we got somebody you don't see eye to eye with. He's going to be on the show tomorrow.
No, I mean, look, Vincent is great and obviously has great, like, you know, obviously he knows the league better than me, but Jess, we don't always, especially when it comes to the Warriors, he thinks I'm biased and that's understandable. I'm a fan of the team.
Well,
so of course I have some bias, right?
Yeah, okay.
But, he was spot on, right? Like everyone talks about like Jordan starting in terms of Jordan getting better and how he'll perform. And I think there's this assumption that Klay can go to the bench and still be the same, right? Because people talk about, like, Jordan, he gets the benefit of, like, playing next to Steph. But Klay gets that same benefit. Every player gets that same benefit. Kevin Durant got that same benefit when he was there. And if you put Klay into the second unit, it might actually look worse because Klay is not a shot creator. He is not a playmaker. There's a skill set that Jordan has that Klay doesn't that makes him valuable in a different way than Klay Thompson. And Klay, I think, would actually struggle more, especially at this stage right now, how he's struggling with that bench unit. So it would not be good, I don't think.
All right. Well, here it is. The number one reason that the Warriors, last year's NBA champions, the team that had it all together, they had a beautiful mix of veteran championship talent with young, dynamic, emerging talent. They all together, they all celebrated. Oh man, this is the model for how you do it, how you win right now and build for the future. Number one reason they're in this position where they're 6-9 and struggling on the road is
the cliche, defense wins championships, right? And
defense?
Their defense wins championships, and their defense is non-existent. Listen, up until maybe last night's game, the defense among the starting group had still been, for the most part, like if you just looked at the defensive rating when the starting group was playing, it was pretty good. And you were like more focused on the bench. But like last night, like no one showed up to help Steph last night except Andrew Wiggins maybe in the second half. He got into some early foul trouble. I mean, Dre, you rely on him to be a defensive leader and to be the voice.
Yeah.
And you cannot help but wonder, did what happened in the offseason affect his ability to lead, right? And like are the voices in the locker room listening to him? I don't know, but you have to question that because you rely on him. Like typically Draymond is a is a walking top 10 defense. Like, just having him on the team does that. And he's not having that impact alone right now. Like, the rest of the team isn't. Kevon Looney's still a good defender. Andrew Wiggins is still a good defender. Steph is even a good defender. Right now, they're attacking Klay out there. They're not even targeting Steph on the court, right? Okay. But it's the defense, and it's mostly the bench, Jordan Poole, and it's the bench, it's the front court. They need to shore up the bench front court because they don't have a defensive anchor. Dante can cover for Poole now that he's back, and he's a solid defender, but they need someone who's going to come in there and defend. It could be Kuminga, but I think they need someone else.
Now, I hope that we don't get to this point. I haven't received one of these emails in a long time, but every now and then you get one of these emails from the bosses, and it's somebody has done something that's foul, right? And they send out these emails, all staff, dear staff, to the staff, we have got to do a better job with not eating in the studio. We got to do a better job of like I wasn't eating in the studio. And you're like, hey, were you eating in the studio? No, I wasn't eating in the studio. Hey, were you eating in the studio? No, I don't know. And these big statements, and it's for one or two people. But listen, don't send me your email. Don't clog up. I got too many emails anyway. I got too many. Right now, I got about 7,000 emails. No exaggeration.
I got
about 7,000 emails in Gmail. 7,000.
Now,
some of them just like.
I beat you.
Some of them's trash. You're probably right. Some of them's just like. You go to a store. Hey, would you like a paper copy? No, I'm trying to save the environment. Okay, we'll email you. Oh, okay, here we go. Now you're not going to email me just my receipt. You're going to email me for the next 2 years until I unsubscribe. I got to harass you to stop harassing me. But a bunch of emails. I already got a bunch. I don't need some unnecessary email from you when you should have just sent that directly. And I bring that back to Steve Kerr. We lack grit. Oh, do we? You already mentioned. Does Steph lack grit? I don't think so. Does Andrew Wiggins lack grit? I don't think he does. Kevon Looney's like, yo, man, I don't even shoot. I don't shoot. I just set picks and rebound all day. I've sacrificed everything. People don't even think I know how to, like, lift the ball toward a basket. Do I lack grit? Really? So if it is his fault, if he's identified the gritless, if I may. If he's identified the gritless, and he won't call him out, or he won't do something about it, tweak the lineup, maybe you got to put Klay on the bench, but not bring him off the bench. Maybe you got to sit him for a long time.
Yeah. We talked about that a little bit.
And it doesn't mean
too.
You don't love him.
Yeah.
This is a bit, we always talk about it, it's entertainment and it's a business. But then when you've been around for a long time, we start to personalize it a little too much. And maybe Klay is is one of those people who's taking business things personally. It's not personal, Klay. We love you. I'm not a Warriors fan. I love him. I appreciate what he's done, but I mean, If he's not performing, isn't he making like $40 million a year?
Yeah.
Isn't that like $40 million?
A lot. Yeah. A lot.
Hey, you're making a lot of money and you're not performing. You may have to sit down. And anybody else who's in that category may have to do it. But
he calls out Klay a little bit in a very nice way. He's like, we're going to do our part to get, however he phrased it, like Klay. So, I mean, he's letting us know it's on its radar, but it was very soft language.
Oh, no, that's not a call out. Has so much. He's such a professional. He works so hard and came back from those. We know he did, but we moved on. Let me ask you real quick before we put some music on and bring in our girl, Ashley Nicole Moss, in a couple of minutes. You think the Warriors are going to go back to the NBA Finals? Let's just project. We're talking about problems right now. Do you think they're back to the NBA Finals? Would you bet against them?
I would not bet against them. But they have to fix things soon. Something has to change. Look, they could have a little Cinderella story like Boston, right? I mean, you guys didn't turn it around until you know, basically
deep.
January.
It was deep.
Right? So
February.
Yeah. So
yeah, it was late.
So, I mean, and like, it's the Warriors, they're proven champions. So, no, I'm not betting against them. But right now, the West is in a place. It's sort of like the East last year. The West is in a place where no team has really created separation. And so they can't let themselves get too far back, right? And so some kind of change has to happen. You have to at least have a winning record. They're 3 games below .500 right now.
Yeah, well, 3 games below .500, that's perfect, because you mentioned Boston. After 39 games last year, Boston was 18-21. Number 11 in the Eastern Conference, not even in the play-in conversation, out of the playoffs. After 39 games, it's pretty much half the season, right?
Right.
And then things happened. They went on a run. So maybe the Warriors need to hire Ime Udoka. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no. No, thank you.
I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Like, you know, I start the music before I get in trouble. All right.
You're too much.
We got Ashley Nicole Moss. Ashley Nicole Moss is coming up next. He's available, though. He doesn't have a job.
Listen, no.
No, you're not interested.
Not interested. Frank Vogel, maybe. Some defense.
Frank Vogel.
Defense.
He's got to be on somebody's staff somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the show. As I mentioned, we're always pleased to be joined by the one and only Ashley Nicole Moss. Ashley, we talked earlier in the season, not that I have to inspire you to cape up for the Cowboys. You are the biggest Cowboys fan I know, or in the top five. You're definitely in the top five. There are lots of Cowboys fans.
I hope I'm not the biggest, because
that's a lot. That's saying a lot, because the Cowboys have a lot of national fans who just, the Cowboys can do no wrong. Now, you have criticized them before. And I remember when Dak went down, you were a little skeptical about what they could do. Now Dak is back, and they just lost a game to drop them to 6-3. And shockingly, they're behind Philadelphia and the Giants in the NFC East. How do you see the Cowboys going down the stretch, final 8 games of the season?
I think they're all winnable games. It all comes down to schemes and how you execute those schemes, right? I don't think that what happened against Green Bay is solely Dak Prescott's fault. I know when you're the quarterback, you're the captain of the ship, and it's easy to take the blame, and usually you do take the blame. But if you actually watched the game, it wasn't all Dak. There were a lot of, drop passes. There were a lot of schemes that just were not conducive for winning. And also, I've got to bring it back to the head coach. Listen, it seemed like the storyline was more about Mike McCarthy and, heading back to Green Bay for the first time and the homecoming and blah, 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 blah. Sounds great, but you're with the Dallas Cowboys. I need you to focus on the task at hand. And there were a lot of things that happened, especially in that fourth quarter, that, were not the smartest. And his decision to not kick a field goal in overtime, ultimately making it so that Green Bay, all they had to do was go ahead and get into field goal range, kick a field goal, and win the game, next score wins, I think was just asinine decision. And a lot of Cowboy fans are questioning if this is the coach that is going to go ahead and bring us back to the promised land. And I said it, earlier in the season and even last season when there were a lot of small things that turned into big things, I don't think he's that guy. I think the guy that's going to bring us there is Sean Payton. So, Sean, I'm recruiting you again. I did this at Super Bowl this past year. I'm doing it again. I'm just putting that out there.
Okay. Yeah, but you know what? And Natalie, I'm going to say this, and then I want to pass it to you. I may have forgotten. I need you to correct me. Mm-hmm. When Cooper Rush went in and won games, who was the head coach then? I can't remember. Who was it for the Cowboys? Who was their head coach?
You know what? It was Mike. But listen, I'll say this.
Okay.
It's a little bit, it's different when you're using your backup quarterback, right? Because when you use a backup quarterback, there's not as much film on that guy as it is at Dak Prescott, who has seasons of film. You kind of know his habits. You know what he's going to do in certain situations. You know his strong suits. You know his weaknesses. When you're using a backup quarterback, it's that you know, mystique. You know, you don't really know much about this guy. You don't know how he's going to react in certain situations. And yes, you may have in Cooper Rush's situation, you have more film than you would say on a regular backup who usually doesn't see the field as much as Cooper Rush has had to in these past two seasons. But it's just, it's not the same. And I think also you get spoiled by Dak's ability to do more than what Cooper Rush can do. And with that, you start calling things that are really unnecessary to call instead of doing what the Cowboys did with Cooper Rush. And that was put him in his pocket to where he just has to do just enough to go ahead and win games, much like a Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay. I'm just curious to know, because I know you're a big Cowboys fan, where do you stand on just Dak Prescott in general? Because I see different talk and some people are just over him. Where do you stand on him?
I'm still a big Dak Prescott fan, and maybe, you know, that's a biased opinion because he's a friend of mine, so I'm kind of on that side of the spectrum. But listen, I think Dak has a lot of, you know, things that are not, you can't put a value on. He has a lot of the intangibles, as they say. He's a great leader, and we've seen what the team looks like when he's not at the helm. We've seen what the team looks like when he's not there. It's a drastically different team, and any team can fake it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, he is the nucleus of this system, and I think that it's about putting him in situations where he can go ahead and be great at the things that he is great at. And I think a lot of the times when you have a quarterback who's athletic, when you have a quarterback who you feel can do so many different things, you try to throw everything against the wall and see what's going to fit and see what's going to stick. And sometimes you just can't do that. And I think that the Cowboys are guilty of doing that with Dak more times than not.
Okay.
Ooh, that throw. Ooh, that throw. Oh, goodness. a couple bad. But, you know, listen, it happens. It happens even to the best of them. Speaking of the best or the previous best, we were talking before you came on, Ashley, about the Golden State Warriors just switching sports. Won a championship last year. Looked great. Really a wonderful run. And now they lost last night to a team that wants to be their rival. The Phoenix Suns are like, they are provoking them. They want to make themselves so distasteful to Golden State so Golden State can really think about them. And like this is a nasty thing. But anyway, you lost to Phoenix last night. They're 6-9. They struggled on the road. Klay struggling. What's your take on Golden State? And do you think they'll be able to shoot or defend their way out of it?
Yeah, here's the thing with Golden State. I think they're working off that, you know, it's called the championship rust a little bit. You know, too much champagne spilling your system. But I think also, you know, Klay Thompson was going to take a while to get back to the Klay that we know, and even a fraction of the Klay that we know. You know, we saw glimpses of it, but we still didn't see it in its entirety last season. And I think that was because he didn't have a full season to get his legs underneath him. He didn't really have enough time to get acclimated back into the system, back with the guys. You know, he's coming off of two major injuries, and that's not something, you know, that's easy to do, especially someone who's not 22 years old. So I think with Klay, it's going to take a little bit more time. But am I worried about the Golden State Warriors as a whole? No. I mean, look at the competition in the West. I mean, there's only a handful of teams that you really have to worry about. You can't worry about the Lakers. They're a disaster. The Clippers, I don't even know, is Kawhi ever going to play basketball again? Like, what's the status of that? You know, you have to look at some of the other teams. Yeah, the Grizzlies are always in the conversation lately. But I think the West is a lot more open than it used to be. And if this were a few years prior, I'd say the Warriors are in trouble. But given how the basketball kind of rhetoric has shifted and now the competitive conference is the East, I say that the Warriors are still in a really good position to make the playoffs. I'm not worried. Are they going to be a number one seed, a number two seed, a number three seed? Maybe not. Are they going to be there? Absolutely.
I love your confidence in the Warriors, because right now they are frustrating me. But they are playing the Knicks next. That's their next game.
They'll probably have a fantastic game, so you're welcome.
But you guys just won, right? Yeah. The Knicks just won.
We did, yeah. The Knicks was good last night. They did, so.
Have you been, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about Tibbs potentially on the hot seat. You know, do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think Tibbs should remain as the coach, or, you know, should...
Yeah, I mean, I think this is part of the Knicks' problem, and I've spoken about this before. It's the lack of a foundation. It's the lack of continuity, and that's in all aspects, whether it's the front office, whether it's the players, whether it's the coach. And listen, a coach is not going to do every single thing right, but I think the goal is to see more pros than cons. And personally, I've seen more pros since Tibbs had with his tenure with the New York Knicks, and I've seen cons. Yes, there are things that are frustrating. There are things in terms of his management of certain players that you kind of look at and you're like, okay, I don't understand that. He's playing great. Why did you just pull him? And that's frustrating. But is it egregious enough where I say, okay, we got to fire him and let him go? No, this is a drastically better Knicks team than we have seen in a very long time. And a lot of that is because of Tom Thibodeau. And I don't think you can just go ahead and give him, you know, his pink slip because of a couple of bad games. I think that he is the coach this team needs right now. So, unpopular opinion, Knicks fans. Sorry.
No, that's all right. Let's switch gears. Let's stay in New York, though. Let's stay in New York. Go over to the borough of Brooklyn. And... talk about the Nets. Who, I know, and I didn't say, we know the Knicks are king. We know the Knicks got it. Okay. This is no battle of the city kind of stuff. There's no battle. I've listened very well. Listen to you. Listen to Amina Smith. I believe you guys that it's all about the Knicks. I got it. But sure. Brooklyn is really in a strange position. We'll talk about Kyrie later, but I really want to ask you about Kevin Durant. You know, he had some comments to Chris Haynes and said, hey, look at my teammates, essentially. What do you expect? Look at the starting five. Not much here. And I'm wondering if you think, I'm pretty confident saying Kevin Durant will not be a Brooklyn Net next year. But how about now? Do you think he'll be traded this season? And if so, where?
It depends on what the Nets, first of all, the comments, I respect KD's honesty. I'm all about honesty. It may have not been great to hear if your Knicks, you know, if your Claxton and those guys are probably like, dang, what did I do? Like, I'm trying too, but I respect the honesty. I'll say it depends on what the Nets are looking to accomplish. If they are hell bent on being a contender and going deep into the playoffs and, you know, even possibly competing for a championship like they say that they want to and what the plan has been since day one, then no, Kevin Durant's not going to get traded. If there comes a point where the writing is on the wall for them and they say, look, it's not going to happen for us, and they've come to that realization and they have those honest conversations and say the only way that this team can survive in some capacity is if we blow it up and start over, then yeah, he'll be traded. That depends on, you know, what the front office and what Joe Tsai and what those guys, what kind of conversation they have with themselves midway through the season. And if midway through the season there is no light at the end of the tunnel, then you have to do what's not only best for your organization and for your fan base and, you know, for the future of the Brooklyn Nets, but you also have to take into consideration, you know, one of the greatest players of all time, Kevin Durant. You know, you've got to... He's given everything he can to this franchise, and if it's not going to work, then you got to let him go. You know, you have to let him be great someplace else. He's not 25 years old. He's over 30. Only so many years left that he's going to be playing at a top level. If you can't utilize him and you know that it's not going to happen for you, you got to let him go and just blow it up. It wouldn't be the first time you've seen it happen.
Has he given everything, though, his all to this franchise? I feel like he bails, like the sign of trouble. He wants to bail. He wants to leave. Even like, and I get it. I get the honesty, right? Mm-hmm. But you still have to lead the players that you're being honest about. Right. So isn't there a level of diplomacy or a way that you go about it so you're not tearing down the same guys you have to go on the court with? I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's getting sort of a pass. Like, oh, it's not good. I'm going to bail and leave. And I mean, that's fine. That's his right. But he kind of came in and he's a large part of the reason why the team is where it is. He didn't want Kenny Atkinson to be the coach, you know. He wanted to play with Kyrie. Like, he created a lot of this. And so now that it's like this, to then be like, oh, you know, I want to go. I don't have what I need. Like, I mean, you need to help fix it. You have created it.
No, I agree with you completely. I think, you know, KD definitely has some blame in the situation. Nobody told him to leave Golden State. He wanted to go ahead and win on his own and prove that he can do that. And the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So absolutely, he takes some of the blame. But when I say given his all, I think a lot of players would have bailed before Kevin Durant did. I think that the Brooklyn Nets have been chaos since he got there. I don't think in some way, shape, or form, whether it's injury, whether it's, you know, the saga with, you know, Kyrie not wanting to get vaccinated, then the James Harden, Ben Simmons trade, and then the Steve Nash situation. And he's gone through a lot of different sagas with this franchise that I don't think a player of his caliber may have, you know, seen through as much as he has. So for that, I have to give him credit because he has continued to step on the court every single night and give 100%. He's battled back from injuries and come back and given 100%. So for that, I have to give him credit. Is he completely, you know, free of fault? Absolutely not. Much like LeBron in LA, like, this is what you wanted. You got what you wanted. It's not working. I get it. But you still have to go ahead and look in the mirror and say a lot of the reason it's not working is because this is what I asked for and maybe I didn't think it through. But I will say that Kevin Durant has given a lot, you know, just to close it up, has given a lot to Brooklyn that, again, I don't see somebody of his caliber maybe seeing through. A lot of guys would have been like, after the Kyrie vaccine thing, would have been like, I'm out. I can't do this. It's too much. Like,
well, Natalie and Ashley, I'll say this. Kevin Durant has given us a lot to think about. And that is how there's no answer right now, but something to think about. It's homework for all three of us. How do we, in our professions, how do we lead with honesty, authenticity, but also we lead with honesty and authenticity, but also inspire the group? How do you do that? How can you be honest and authentic and a leader? Because your honesty might slice somebody. It might be honest. Hey, I keep it 100.
He should check in with his former teammate, Wardell.
You can say a lot. I can understand the words may not necessarily have been the nicest, but I think Kevin Durant leads by example. I don't think he's the vocal leader. I don't think he's the leader who's like, rah, rah, let's do this, guys. Come on, we can get it. You can do it. I think he's the guy who leads by example by what he does in practice, what he does on the court, what he does in games. And for some guys, that's their definition of being a leader. There are locker room guys who are going to cheer you on and, you know, stroke your ego and give you that boost of confidence you need to go out every single game. And then there are guys who are not big talkers. They're all action. And I think that KD has always been somebody who is about action and not necessarily about the words. And that's just the type of leader that he is. It doesn't make it wrong. It doesn't make it right. It's just who Kevin Durant is.
I don't think he desires to be a leader. I don't.
But if you go, Ashley, you value honesty in relationships. I value clarity in relationships. So if you're gonna be the lead by example person, hey, don't pay attention to my words. Okay, lead by example, good. But then don't come back with some words that slice me up. Wait a minute. Now you're off brand. What happened? You're not supposed to be a talker.
Listen.
But now you're talking.
I'm sure in you know, playing devil's advocate, I'm sure it's not something maybe they haven't heard him say before. It was just the first time we heard it. I'd be willing to bet it's not the first time those guys have heard something along those lines.
Ashley, we love you. Always good to see you.
Nice to meet you.
We will catch up with you soon. Go Cowboys. Go Boys. I'm a Cowboys fan all of a sudden.
Are you?
Well, I mean, this year, I root for him. I want to see him do well. I'm a Mike McCarthy fan.
This year.
So, Natalie, our family is going to get to know you better. We're getting to know you. And everybody sees you. And they look at Natalie. Natalie, she's got a beautiful smile. She's always smiling. She's very pleasant. But we've seen another side of you, too. Jason Johnson was like, hey, where is she? Like, I don't know if I can come because, like, she got me pretty good the last time I was there. And then, you know, I'm sure last night you were watching the Warriors and Suns. I bet you there was another side of you that came out as you were watching the Phoenix Suns. Why? You said the Suns are very unlikable. Why do you think the Suns are unlikable?
Oh my gosh, they're so arrogant. And for what? For no reason. I mean, they just, listen, I get it. NBA players, they're cocky. I don't expect them to be like timid on the court. But like, where was this swagger? Why weren't you carrying yourself like this in the second round when the Mavs came into town and embarrassed you and you lost by how many points was it? Like, I just.
A bunch.
A lot.
At home.
At home.
Game seven.
At home. Right. You know, it's just like, oh, in a regular season game, like just all of this extraness, you know, they just annoy me. They annoy me. They're an annoyable bunch. Of course, it annoys me more because they were doing it to my team. But I think they are an annoying group and I don't like them. And I can't wait to watch them fail again because I think that they are still fraudulent and they will not make it anywhere.
Front runners.
Yeah, front runners. That was actually what I said in my feed originally, then I changed it. The Phoenix Suns are front runners.
See, but what happened, I'm sure, there, you know, two sides to every story. I'm sure they're responding to some comments from the Warriors bench because the Warriors have one of the top three trash talkers nonstop, does not turn it off in the NBA. That would be Draymond. So I'm sure Draymond and others were chirping at them. And they're like, okay,
listen,
we're just tired of them. And now they can't win on the road. Now they're under 500. Maybe they'll be better than we are by the time we get to the playoffs. But right now we got to live in the moment. It's November, and we're going to be November champions, damn it. Okay. We're going to be November champions.
Well, we keep receipts.
Anyway.
We keep receipts, especially on NBA Twitter, so.
Twitter, NBA Twitter. So how's Twitter working out for you in the era of Elon?
Gosh, it is such a mess, honestly. Like, and, you know, everyone right now, look, especially, you know how Black Twitter operates within Twitter. So it's like, it's a bunch of jokes and we're like, oh, we're all going down with it. But like, on the more serious sides of things, I think people should really be concerned. Like, I really am concerned, selfishly for my own reasons as a content creator. But I don't know, especially if you don't use Twitter, I don't think that everyone appreciates how much Twitter impacts the news cycle, how important Twitter has become to our society. Like, I mean, you have mainstream media taking their leads and their stories from Twitter. It also provides so much vital information on the ground sometimes when the news isn't in there. It helps to keep some of the media, like, in check. It would be very critical if Twitter cannot withstand Elon Musk. And so I just think everyone needs to be really, really concerned and should be invested in the survival of Twitter.
That's a good way of looking at it. Especially that news point is a great one. I mean, this didn't exist in the 20th century at all. I love the accountability point for media members and also just like the crowdsourcing where you allow a lot of different voices to be heard. Those voices were being ignored or not even thought about, you know, 15 years ago. And now it's a major part of any kind of news gathering that's worth anything does involve Twitter. Let me ask you this. I already talked about November champions. Let's talk about November award winners. MVP. You got a caller right now. NBA MVP. You are giving it to?
I'm giving it to Giannis, but Jason Tatum is like my 1A.
Jason Tatum?
Yes, Jason Tatum.
Because?
I mean, he's playing incredibly. He's playing incredibly. This is, if Jason Tatum can maintain his level of play, this is what the Celtics need to put them over the edge. I am a big firm believer to win a championship. Like all these teams that are like good and have these like high wins during the season, if they don't have a top five player, like, I don't take you seriously. And so, like, that's why when the Warriors were going against the Celtics, I said, who's the best player in the series? Because I thought the teams were evenly matched. It's Stephen Curry. If he can play like a tier one guy, if he can play like a Giannis and a Steph, that puts them in a different category. And this is the leap we've been waiting for him to take. So if he sustains it, Tatum.
See, I need your perspective on this because this is a great conversation. I agree with you. He's playing well. Giannis is playing great. And Giannis last night, if you look at his starting five, Kevin Durant. If you look at Giannis' starting five last night, had no Middleton, had no Holiday. You look at some of those names in the starting lineup, you haven't heard of a couple of them. And they beat a good Cleveland team by 15 points. So,
but the Celtics are missing guys too.
And let's calm down with who. Well, look at these guys around me. What am I supposed to do with all these? What you're supposed to do is just carry them.
Yes.
And we don't ask that of top 20 players. We don't ask that of top 15 players. We do ask that of top 5 players. Carry these guys as far as you can go. And it's not always fair. Sometimes you got to play far, like above your normal level, mm-hmm. which is exceptional. You got to go even, 2%, 3% higher, because that's what superstars do. But let me ask you, your perspective, because in Boston, last year after Game 6, Jason Tatum was getting killed. Mm-hmm. Media-wise, fan-wise, they were killing him. Oh, look what he shot in the finals. Yeah. He's not ready. Jaylen Brown was the best player in the finals for the Celtics. Oh, I don't know if Tatum is that guy. How did Warriors fans, how did you as a Warrior, I'm not going to ask you to speak for all Warriors fans, but you're celebrating after Game 6, and somebody mentioned Jason Tatum to you after the Warriors won a championship. What was your thought?
I mean, look, I have great respect for Jason Tatum and the Celtics, so I felt bad that he was receiving that kind of criticism. But it was his first finals, and I thought like it was a learning moment for him, because there were things that the Warriors figured out about him and Brown that I think allowed them to have that success. So, yes, he wasn't shooting well, but there were weaknesses in his game. And he went this offseason and he worked on them, and he's a much better player. And that's what the great ones do, So, no one wants to lose. You certainly don't want to lose the first time you've made the finals. But if you look at Jason Tatum's career and the trajectory to this point, he's just had so much success, and I think it's overlooked, It's always Luka, 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 and Luka is great. But, I mean, Jason Tatum, look how early he was going to the Eastern Conference Finals and leading his team. He's an incredible player, and I want him to have success, except against the Warriors. But outside of that, I want him to have great success in the Celtics. I love them. They're honestly my favorite team in the East, so I'm a Celtics fan. They're like my second team, but yeah.
No way. No way. This is shocking. Now,
yeah.
We're colleagues, and now we're learning. We're learning things about each other.
I do. I love the Celtics.
I said during the break that I'm a Cowboys fan this year for some reason, and you didn't know that. But you telling me you're a Celtics fan? That's your number two team?
Yeah, they're my East team.
Now, next thing you got to tell me is you love Boston? You love Boston as a whole? You love
the city of Boston? Or the team? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I actually...
The city.
I know. People are not supposed to like Boston, I'm told, but I love Boston, so I do.
Come on!
I do love Boston. Yeah, I go to a lot of games in Boston. I used to always go to, back in the days before people were up on the Warriors, I'd make sure I always went to Boston for Celtics Warriors. Yeah.
That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'd like to see, Natalie?
What's that?
I think I'd like to see another one. I'd like to see a rematch.
I would, too.
Celtics Warriors, and see if this one could go 7 games. Take it to Game 7. What I don't like to see in NBA Finals, and it happens. You're right. First NBA Finals, a lot of great players in their first NBA Finals were just okay. And it's been a long time, and people may not remember Larry Bird's first NBA Finals. Not great. Was not the MVP of his first NBA Finals. LeBron James. We remember first NBA Finals, not that he was terrible, but they got swept.
Right.
And he struggled from the field. And Jason Tatum last year shot 35-36% in the NBA Finals. So, anyway, Boston fan, Natalie, great job. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you tomorrow.